Welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show. Listen and grow as Del questions the status quo, encourages you to think differently, and empowers you to make a better life. Get ready as Del challenges core beliefs, seeks the truth, and reveals the roadmap to the lifestyle you really want. And now your host, multi-millionaire, national award-winning investor, CEO and founder of Lifestyles Unlimited, Del Walmsley.
Hello and welcome to the Del Walmsley Radio Show, where the hype ends and the help begins. Hey, I'm filling in today for Del. I'm your host, Andy Webb. And as always, we're working on your financial freedom. Yeah, I'm filling in today for Del. He's out on vacation. Don't you think a guy like Del deserves to take a break? I mean, he's out here on the radio every day trying to help you shift your mindset so that you can take action and change your life. Get out of the life of quiet desperation if that's where you're at now. Create financial freedom, grow your wealth, right? Become real estate retired. And if you think about it, that's a pretty big weight that he carries. So I hope Del is enjoying that vacation wherever he may be. He'll be back soon. Now, who am I if you've not heard me talk before? I'm somebody that Del helped years ago. My life was changed. My family's life was changed by the things that Del talks about and teaches. And it really did. It changed the trajectory that my family and I were on. And, you know, I know sometimes when you see somebody that's, let's say, uber successful, right? Super successful, no matter what the industry or field, whether it's sports or some other avenue, you may think to yourself, you know, there's just no way I can do what that person's talking about. There is no way I can ever get there. And I bring this up because you may hear Del and think, wow, you know, he'll tell a lot of stories. He's been doing this for a long time. And occasionally he'll mention that he bought over 100 houses. And you may think, man, there is no way I can buy 100 houses. And he'll talk about buying multiple apartment communities year after year. And you'll think, man, there is no way I can do that. And he's a multimillionaire. The show opener just brought that up. No way I can do that. Well, my goal today is to give you my perspective as somebody that did learn from Del, but as somebody that really, well, I've not bought 100 houses. I've not owned several apartment communities on my own, not even one, to be honest. But I am somebody that has gotten to complete financial freedom, become real estate retired, just the same. So I want to give you a little bit different perspective, or at least my perspective, because I am sure that you can do it as well. So again, who am I? I'm an investor based out of Dallas-Fort Worth, Texas. And as I mentioned, Del, I caught him. I heard about Del and Lifestyles Unlimited on this very radio program. It was life-changing. This was back in 2011. My wife and I took a little bit of time to figure out that this sounds like something. Maybe we should go check it out. You know, it took a while to talk ourselves into that simple first step, but I'm really glad we did. Del was my first mentor when we did finally join way back in 2012. So we've been investors for over a dozen years now, and we started by investing in single-family rental houses, just single-family properties. You know, we followed the model. We went to the two-day financial freedom seminar, learned all about investing in houses, tapped into our mentors, tapped into the education, and started buying. And we retired my wife in just about 3 years from a terrible job, terrible corporate job, got her out of there. Much happier since then. And eventually I pulled the trigger and retired from corporate America as well. This was just about maybe 4 years ago, when I was still 47. Del did it 34. I took a little longer. It took me a long time till I even heard the message, you know. But 47, that's 20 years ahead of my, quote, retirement age. I think if I followed the Social Security age range, I would be, I think, 67 and 2 months when I was supposed to have retired. So pulled that forward 2 decades. Think about that, 2 decades. So we've created a ton of passive income by investing in those houses and having since moved on to apartments as well, passively. And interesting, I went back and checked, you know, Del mentions multimillionaire. I checked my net worth and it's grown over 3,000%. It sounds like a lot, right? Well, when you're starting with a small number, right, you have big percentage gains, of course. But I'm very happy with our progression. And in thinking about that progression, I want to use my own timeline as a sort of case study to build the show today. And we'll look at that timeline because I want you to understand this wasn't all done at once. Whether you're thinking about buying 100 houses or what we've done under 20, I want you to see what that progression looked like. And I want to take some learnings back from that timeline. And it's interesting. I go to a lot of networking things here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. Sometimes we'll go down to San Antonio, maybe other markets. But there's a group that I meet with every month for lunch. Some of these investors are members at Lifestyles Unlimited. Some are not. In fact, one of them has his own group he puts together. And he asked me to come out and talk. I said, yeah, I'd be happy to do that. I'll come and, kind of share what I know. This was probably a year or so ago. And so what I did is I said, I want to share with these guys my timeline. So I literally put together an arrow starting in 2012, going up to, at the time, 2024. And I just mapped every year. How many houses did we actually buy? You know, when we got started, it took us a while. We joined in March of 2012, bought the first house in August. It took us a little too long because we had a lot of mental hurdles. Other hurdles that we put in our own way. I'm not going to get into those today, but eventually we pulled the trigger, bought that first house, and immediately bought a second one. And not too long after that, bought a third one in 2013. And you know what happened then? We ran out of capital. Yeah, we ran out of capital. But then we scratched around. We looked around. We said, okay, what can we do? And we realized, oh, we got a little bit of money sitting in this brokerage account that we inherited from a relative. It was maybe 50, 60K. Wasn't a ton, but we cashed it out, ate the tax hit, and that enabled us to really move forward, buy five more houses. We took the cash flow from the houses that we had bought, cash flow from our incomes, that brokerage account, bam, bought two, bought one, bought five. But if you look at the rest of the progression, on average, we bought maybe 2.5 houses per year is what it works out to be. Not a ton. Right? We didn't just go crazy. We didn't have the capital to go crazy when we started. We were really limited by available capital, or at least the perceived capital. Perhaps if we'd have thought about that brokerage account a little bit sooner, we could have done more in years one and two, right? But we grew slowly, right? A couple houses per year. We take that cash flow from the houses that was coming in every month, set that aside. Lived off of my income, took my wife's income, set that aside. Bought another house after that. Just very consistent over our initial buying phase was probably about 7 years. Like I said, 3 years in, got my wife retired. Just kept buying, just like that. And eventually, we did stop buying houses and started investing in apartments as passive investors. And I want to kind of take you here through that timeline because there was a major shift. And when I look at this, it's a little PowerPoint slide. When I look at this one page, this one timeline, you see this very heavy on the left side of the timeline, buying houses. And on the right side of the timeline, something happens that we really hadn't done before. You start to see these capital events, starting to do cash out refinances on the houses that we own, selling some of the houses that we own, doing a cash out refinance on our personal house, and that taboo thing. Dell talks about doing this. A lot of you are scared to do this, but we finally did it. Cashed out the 401k. So left side of the timeline is slow progression, investing in rental houses, enjoying the cash flow, reinvesting the cash flow in more houses. You do this over and over and over again. And that leads to the right side of the timeline with heavy capital events. And it was those capital events that allowed us to then invest in passive apartments. Two in 2020, two in 2021, five in 2022, and so on. And one of the things I learned through this progression is that, again, I think I mentioned this already, consistency over the long run is key. And among other things, as I look at my progression here, these were not all home run investments that we made. One or two of them you might call a home run later on. We got better as we invested. But most of what we bought were what you might call a single, right? If you're using the baseball analogy. And the problem is, if you only look for home runs, you're not even going to buy that single. You will never buy a single rental at all. Nothing's going to be good enough. So forget about the home runs. Think about the base hits. And in fact, we presented, my wife and I, probably a year and a half or so ago, at Lifestyles Unlimited here in Dallas-Fort Worth, we did a case study. A case study is where we get up on the stage, a member gets up on the stage and presents one of their investments or maybe multiples. And we do these every month. You'll have somebody present on one of their single family, probably somebody that's just bought their first single family house. Then you'll have another presenter that talks about multiple They're deeper into the single family progression, and then we'll have an apartment investor get up and present a case study as well. But we are on stage to present the first house that we sold. And it's really interesting looking back at this house. And I tell you this because, again, I don't want you to focus solely on home runs, because you're going to miss investment opportunities like this. This one we bought, this was 2015. In fact, this is the house that we bought that got my wife retired. This is the one that put us over the top in terms of income coming in, passive income that replaced hers and got her out the door from that terrible job. But this is no home run. Right, our cash invested into this house was about $25,000. I'm going to define some of the things. I'm going to name them now. I'll define them here in a moment if these are new terms for you. But our equity capture, we invested $25,000. We created additional equity on top. Guess what that number was? $7,000. If you've heard recent shows here, I didn't mention this, but I'm a host of one of the other programs, the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. We get a little bit more into the granular stuff, into the moving parts of buying a rental house, fixing it up, that sort of stuff. And I've talked a lot about equity capture. And equity capture, you add another zero to the end of that number, that's what you're seeing these days. Not $7,000, but $70,000. Back then, we didn't see that. $7,000, great. That's a 28% return on my investment. But here's the thing. It created cash flow, about $450 per month back then. Different market, right? About a 21% cash on cash return. But I mentioned this because that was a single, right? We bought it for $72,000. We put about $36,000 in repairs into it, and it valued at $125,000 when we were done in 2015. Now turn around. This is why we presented this at a case study. First house that we had sold it for $300,000. So you can see there's some really significant appreciation in there, market appreciation, that took us from $125,000 to $300,000 over the course of about 8 years. All the while, cash flowing, right? If you factor in the amount of cash flow we collected from this property, the equity capture, I'll define that here in a minute, as we paid down the mortgage, plus the market appreciation, our actual return on the property over 8 years was about 800%. That's 100% per year. Cash invested 25, getting double that basically every year, doubling our money right there. So that single became a grand slam, which is why I say don't just focus on the home runs, because you're going to miss investment opportunities like this. And you have to remember, you make money five ways on a single family house. I mentioned that our cash out of pocket was $25,000 and that our equity capture was $7,000. Basically, what's happening is we're buying a house that needs work, and we're adding value back to the property by doing the renovations, and that pushes the value up, right? We bought it for $72,000, it valued at $125,000 when we were done. So we created an additional amount of equity called equity capture. Right. And then we go on to hold that, and we have cash flow. So we're making cash flow on the house. We made equity capture on the outset as our residents are paying down the mortgage out of that rent. Right. Before we collect the cash flow, we pay the expenses, and we have something called principal pay down, equity buildup. Every month that resident is paying the mortgage on my behalf, and that adds to our equity position, as well as number four, market appreciation. So we have cash flow, equity capture, equity buildup, market appreciation, and big tax advantages. I did not pay taxes on my cash flow on this property because we did it right. And if you do it right, the tax advantages are in your favor while you hold the property and then when you sell the property. I did not pay any taxes on the massive capital gains that we enjoyed from the sale of this property. Very big numbers, very big numbers, because tax advantages in real estate are huge. So we're making money five ways. I want to go back now, though, to that equity capture, because the market we're in now. If you heard me say, hey, this house, by the way, was in Arlington, Texas, right in between Dallas and Fort Worth. Great, great rental market. If I were to buy that house now, cash flow would probably be around $200, because property taxes are up, insurance is up, and mortgage rates are up. I would still buy the house, but the cash flow is going to be thinner. The good news is, the flip side of that is that the equity capture is exploding. I have an example property. This one actually is down by Houston. I got this from Lifestyles Realty. Estimated out of pocket to buy this particular house, this is an actual investment opportunity, $20,000. But the equity capture, right, the value that I'm adding back on top of my invested cash, $52,000. So I've got my $20,000 in plus $52,000 creates a $72,000 equity buffer. That's a 262% return that I get just in a handful of months by adding value back to the property. And this is the big point for you right now. We're going to head into a break, I see. So I'll take this up on the backside. But that equity plays into something else I learned, something that you can do much quicker than I ever was able to when we began in 2012, because the times have changed and they're in your advantage now, so stick around.
Teaching you with a roadmap to creating the lifestyle you really want. Keep listening. The Del Wamsley Radio Show returns in moments.
Learn to retire in 5 years or less through real estate investing. Learn how, learn now. Let Lifestyles Unlimited show you how. Get educated now. Text the word radio to 88007. That's radio to 88007. Join for just $297. Lifestyles Unlimited.
You're hearing the Del Wamsley Radio Show. Want more life-changing knowledge? Access our podcast and listen on demand at lifestylesunlimited.com under the radio tab. Now your host, Del Wamsley.
Welcome back to the Del Wamsley Radio Show. I'm your host today, Andy Webb, filling in for Del while he is out on vacation. I'm happy to be joining you. Now, Del's show is very much national in scope. Hits a lot of markets where the shows that I host may not. If you want to hear anything I have to say, you can go to lifestylesunlimited.com. The Real Estate Investor Radio Show is also archived there as a podcast. Al Gordon hosts the show. Mike Harrison hosts the show. So you can go and get a number of different perspectives from the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. And if you have any questions, send those over to askandy@luinc.com. I'm happy to direct you to that program. But the thing I want to convey today is, you know, I'm not Del Wamsley. I learned a ton from him. And he changed my life, and he changed the trajectory that my wife and I were on. But we didn't do anything close to what Del did or has done and is doing. You know, so we bought a number of single-family houses that got my wife retired, that got me retired. We're now investing in apartments as well. And we've learned a lot just through our own progression over the years. We've been doing this over a dozen years now. And I was mentioning, you know, when we started buying single-family houses back in 2012, the market was different. Interest rates were lower than they are now, so our cash flow was higher. Our cash flow now is back to what it was at when Del started, right? He might, back, you know, if you've caught some of his shows where he talks about those first houses that he bought, those were kicking off $200 a month in cash flow. Here in Texas, we're back in that space again. In fact, what we look for as members when we're buying a single-family rental house in terms of cash flow, we want to see a net from $200 to $600. Now, we're probably not getting $600 here in Texas, but we are buying in other markets like the Carolinas, North and South Carolina, in Georgia, Tennessee, up in Kansas City, Missouri, Kansas City, Kansas, over in Arizona, and other markets. And each market is different. All real estate is local. And if you are focused on a greater cash flow, go look at those markets because the taxes and the insurance are more favorable. If you're looking for a great market like Texas, though, very landlord-friendly, right, top number one market in that sense, come here, just know that your cash flow may be a little bit thinner, but that's okay. We're kind of where we were when Del started. Actually, rates are a little bit lower, but I digress here. The big message that I wanted to bring in the first half of the show is that it comes down to consistency, right? You have to do something and continue to do it in a consistent manner. And we saw that as we added, we just bought one more house. Just add one more. Oh, here's another one. Let's go get that one. Just slowly but surely. None of these, very few of these, were home runs, right? I gave you an example of what I would call a single when we bought it that became a grand slam. But in order to get that grand slam, you had to make the purchase. You had to buy the house. And if you think about consistency over the long run, it implies starting, right? You can't have consistency as a single family rental buyer or multifamily investor until you start. That's important. And I'll tell you, the most common regret that I do hear from real estate investors, no matter where they are on their timeline or trajectory, it's that, hey, I took too long thinking about it. I took too long to start. I should have started sooner. Most common regret. And looking back, if I'd heard the message sooner, oh boy, you know, things, we could have done a lot more. And we will do a lot more, right? Because we've heard the message and we are rolling. But consistency is the key. Getting into those singles. Don't look for the home runs. That's learning number one. Learning number two, and I hinted at this, I alluded to this when I look at my timeline. I've got a graphic here in front of me. House heavy, buy in the first 7 or so years. And finally, on the right side of that timeline, you start to see these events. I call these capital events. Single family did a cash out refi on the first two houses that we had bought. Next year did another cash out refi, did a cash out refi on our personal house, right? One of our multifamily investments sold very quickly, 102% return, right, in about 18 months. Cashed out the 401k, yeah, taboo. Sold a house, sold another rental house. So these capital events, as I look at them and when they occurred, they're all on the more recent end of my timeline. And in looking backwards, what I know now is I should have sold or I should have done out cash out refis sooner on our property. Now, to some extent, again, if you think about that example house I gave you, we only had $7,000 of equity capture when we bought the house. So we did need to sit a little bit longer then to get to that equity position to even do a cash out refi. Or a sale. And that's the cool thing for you right now. Houses have significantly higher equity positions. I gave you an example from a house down by Houston. You can invest $20,000 into this house, or to buy the house, and create an additional $52,000 in equity. That's a 262% return. You've more than doubled, you've tripled your money in a handful of months. But beyond that, you now have this big equity position. So you can now lever that. You can tap into that. You can hold that house for a year and a day. Here we're thinking tax advantages. I want to get out of short-term capital gains. If I sell that, if I'm a flipper and I sell that immediately, I'm in short-term capital gains. That's paying earned income tax rates. But if I hold it for a year and a day, that takes me into long-term capital gains rates, which may be 0, 15, 20%, depends on your personal income. Or I can do a 1031 exchange. Now, I didn't do that on the sale of that one house because I had a lot of losses that I had booked and accrued, paper losses, by the way, not actual losses, from that portfolio of houses. They accrued over time and from those apartments that we had invested in. So big tax advantage. Take those losses, apply that to the gain, net zero. Took a ton of money out of the house, paid no taxes. But the big message for you now is that I had to sit a little bit longer to get to where I could even have some of these capital events. You, on the other hand, can buy that one house and sit on $70,000 in equity and choose then to do a cash-out refinance. By the way, that's a tax-free event. There are no tax implications there. Now, you may have to let the loan season for 6 months or 12 months. It depends on the lender. But then you can do that cash-out refi far sooner than I could have on my timeline. Cash flow for me was higher than it is now, but the equity position's now much, much bigger. We stopped buying houses for a period of time because we shifted into apartments and put all our focus. We're going to invest passively. We're going to buy this. We're going to invest in this apartment community. Great, down in Corpus Christi. We're going to do this one up in Speedway, Indiana. We're going to do this one here and there and there and everywhere. We've now shifted back. We bought a couple more houses because that equity position is huge. Equity position is huge. Now, you do need to think about this. If it comes to capital events, when I think about single family houses, I'm in control. I control when I sell that house. I control if I do a cash out refinance. We did 3 cash out refis just last year, despite where mortgage rates are, because the equity position was so high, right? So that we can redeploy that into other houses, other apartments. But you make that choice on a single family house because you are in control. If you go and lead an investment syndication, meaning you're the one putting the deal together, you're the deal sponsor, the general partner, you're in control. If you go and buy your own apartments as an IRO, that's an independent rental owner, that's what Dell did very early in his trajectory. He was the sole boss there. This was not a syndication, it was Dell, right? Then you're in control and you choose, when do I do a refinance? When do I sell? So you choose the timing of those capital events. I, on the other hand, have done a lot of investing now passively in apartments. I don't have that control. So you need to think about that. How much control do I want as I go down my investing track? Do I want to do single family where I have complete control? Do I want to invest passively in apartments because I work a full-time job and I don't have time? Just understand that you're handing over control. You're handing over the reins to the apartment syndicator. And as you have seen and heard, I'm absolutely okay with that. I'm absolutely okay with that. We don't have control, but we do see what the business plan looks like. We do know what the intention is going in. We're going to hold this for 3 to 5 years. We're going to hold this for 5 to 7 years. You just make sure that aligns with your goals. So something to think about, again, as you choose your investment path. But those capital events, They're very, very important to growth. So plan those. Think about those. When should I do those? When can I do those? Right now, you can do those sooner than later. Now, aside other learnings around capital, aside from forcing capital events with my houses, I should have pulled the 401k out sooner. I heard the message over and over, refused, right? That's a hard one. It's ingrained. If you grew up in the United States, it's ingrained to put your money as you work for a company. Put that in the 401k. Protect that. That's where it goes. Leave it there. Wish we would have pulled it out sooner. Wished we would have done a cash out refi on our personal house sooner, but I'm glad that we did, right? Pulled the cash out, went into apartments. That takes me to learning number three. Every single rental house that I have bought is essentially a little ATM, right? Automatic teller machine. Our houses create options. They create flexibility. We can hold that house and just continue to ride the cash flow. We've done that with a lot of our houses, just riding the cash flow. That's what I live off of. I'm now real estate retired. I don't have a job. My job is to manage this portfolio and find more investments. That's it. That's all I do. So we ride the cash flow. Now, occasionally, you're going to say, hey, it's time. I got the equity. Let's do a cash out refinance. That's a tax-free capital event. You get that capital tax-free, and you go deploy it. Or maybe you choose to sell. I don't like this house. It's a pain. I don't like the area. I'm changing my focus. Whatever. Fine. Go sell it. And use the tax advantages to protect your capital gains. When you have one rental house, well, you have one set of choices. I've defined those for you there. When you own 20, well, now you have a portfolio of options. Your options go a lot farther. And speaking of options, a handful of years before I fully retired, I used that very cash flow, this portfolio of houses, to present my employer an option. I said, you know what? We had a son in the meantime since we started this investing career, and I wanted to spend more time with him. And I had that option because we had the cash flow. I said, hey, boss, I don't want to work full-time anymore. Let's go from 40-plus hours per week to 24. Why 24? That kept the health insurance in place. That was one of the things we're still trying to figure out. And boss said, nope, can't do it. I said, well, then I'm going to retire altogether. Okay, 24 hours a week, great. So putting these ATMs into place created options and gave me additional options just beyond the capital events that we talked about. So think about that, right? You give a stronger foundation to your life through this investing track. Each house is like a little ATM machine, lots of options. Last thing I want to present to you, something I learned and wish I had done sooner really is, and look again, looking at this timeline, I see bought a house, bought two houses, bought one house, bought five houses, bought one, bought three, bought blah, 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 and finally invested passively in apartments. I wish we had invested, we should have mixed multifamily into the portfolio sooner. Again, here, thinking about consistency, the notion of consistency over the long run, we should have invested probably in one, maybe two multifamily per year when we started. You have to understand, that doesn't mean bringing $1 million to the investment. In fact, I looked at an investment recently, multifamily, a passive opportunity where the minimum to invest was $20,000. So could I have done that, taken some of my cash flow from my houses each year and directed that towards a passive investment? Yeah, absolutely. And here's the key, with that notion of consistency and chipping away a little bit every year, getting into another investment or two every year, apartments mature at different times. So it's good to get in one or two per year to create kind of a what I would call a staggered capital events. Again, as a passive investor, you don't control when these things happen. You see the business plan, so you know what the intent is. But by investing every year, you give yourself the opportunity to then have these staggered capital events. Sometimes that's a cash out refinance. We had apartments just this year go through a cash out refinance. I just literally last week, money hit the bank. Bam. Right? Did I know that was going to happen? I mean, we knew it was in the conversation, but it happened. Cash in the bank. Maybe he sells in a year or two, right? Another capital event. We know the business plan, right? We watch as things develop, and then we enjoy these capital events when they come. It's kind of like a bond ladder or a CD, right? A certificate of deposit ladder, if you've ever heard of that, where you buy one that matures in 6 months and one that matures in a year and one that matures in 2 years and one that matures in 3 years and 4 years and 5 years. And as they mature, then you invest in the next rung up. Do the same thing with apartments. So again, consistency over the long run is key. And tapping into those capital events is very important for your growth. And as you grow and buy more houses, you're going to see that they are little automatic teller machines that kick off cash and give you a ton of options and flexibility. But be sure to mix in apartments as well. For some of you, it may be going straight to apartments is the way to go. A lot comes down to the amount of capital that you have when you're starting. Now, some of you will say, Andy, you started in 2012. Didn't I miss the optimal time to get started? No. Dell, host of the show, started in the late 80s. Founded Lifestyles Unlimited in 1990. Think about that. Very long track record. Shouldn't I have started then? Well, maybe. You know, best time to invest in real estate was 30 years ago. But some of you weren't even born then. That's okay. What about me again? Started in 2012. One of the other radio hosts, Mike Harrison, I believe he started in 2010 or 2011. Al Gordon also hosts the Real Estate Investor Radio Show. He didn't become a member at Lifestyles Unlimited until 2017. So the point is, it doesn't matter when you start. The big point is that you get started. By the way, be sure to listen to the Tell Dell shows on Tuesdays because you're going to have other investors coming on. Some will be single family investors. Some will be apartment investors that are leads or syndicators. Some will be passive investors. And you're going to hear they all started at different times as well. But they got started. And that's the big point. You don't have consistency over the long run unless you start. You're not going to create those options and flexibility that I talked about with our single family houses unless you start. And those successive capital events that start to come, whether it's that cash out refi on the apartments we're passive in or those houses that we've actively chosen to sell or do a cash out on, you're not going to see those until you start. You got to get started. Doesn't matter what market we're in. We buy in up markets, we buy in down markets. We buy when they're sideways. When you're buying a house at 50 cents on the dollar for $20,000 out of your own pocket, but creating $52,000 in additional equity on top, you cannot lose. So how do you start? Same way I did in 2012. Go to lifestylesunlimited.com. There's a button in there to click to register for the free workshop. Give that a listen. It's all done virtually online now. See if Lifestyles Unlimited is a good fit. And if so, get your progression started. Get your timeline started. Consistency, capital events, options, and flexibility. You can have all of those so that you can then remember it's not the money, it's the lifestyle. You have a good day.
Thank you for listening to the Dell Walmsley Radio Show. Want more of Dell's unconventional wisdom? Go to lifestylesunlimited.com and click the radio tab. Listen to past shows, hear podcasts on demand, and find out how you can change your life today. The Dell Walmsley Radio Show is part of the Lifestyles Unlimited Radio Network.
The information and opinions you hear on the Dell Walmsley Radio Show are those of the host, Dell Walmsley, his guests, and his callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of this station, its affiliates, its management, or advertisers. The Dell Walmsley Show is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult a professional regarding your personal investment needs. Nothing presented on the Dell Walmsley Show constitutes an endorsement, recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or security.